We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
For many that have been with us for a while, you guys have been around, you've experienced the fact that what? We are in the middle of a series called God Is That You? And some people would say, we're still doing this? Well, I honestly believe this is the number one question I receive as a pastor. How do I know when God is speaking to me? I really want to take serious time for this church to understand how God speaks, all the creative ways in which he speaks, so that you can begin to discern if he is speaking to you. Is that good? And so we had an amazing time last week for Mother's Day. Our founding pastor, Nita, my mother was able to come and encourage the church. Just with some amazing thank you God stories, or actually really a story of a sign in which she heard from God, and just back-to-back-to-back confirmations on how she was to leave with my father and me in diapers at 2 and our whole family to come to Massachusetts to start this church. But I think it's so important for you to understand when God is speaking to you. I don't want you to miss him, so buckle up. Are you ready for part 5? If you missed last week, you want to go online and get that. So here's the thing. We always go over these ABCs while we're in this. A, God is speaking. He is speaking. We see in other times in the Bible, other periods of the age. I always talk about between the end of the book of Malachi and the beginning book of the New Testament. In Matthew, there was a 400 period where God was not speaking. We are living in a time where God is speaking. He's made it very clear that he is speaking. He's made it very clear that he wants us to understand. So B, God wants you to understand. But so look at this. So God is speaking. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry, computer guy. Oh, it's Chip. All right, we're good. Listen. God is speaking. How do I know this? Job 33:14 says this, for God does speak one way, now another, though no one perceives it. He doesn't just speak once, he speaks again. He wants you to understand, right? So B, he wants you to understand. Jesus, we know that he called us friends, right? You've heard me say it 100 times, but he called us friends because he revealed to us that which the Father was telling him, yes? But look what John 16 says. I have told you these things, so that you won't abandon your faith. He wants you to understand these things. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. We see this everywhere. We see this happening throughout the Middle East. We see this happening. This is something that Jesus is making known. These things are going to happen to you. Okay? This is because they have never known the Father or me. Okay? So I'll tell you, if anyone's killing anybody in the name of their God, they don't know God. Are we understanding that? Jesus makes that very clear. Okay? Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember, so that you will know, and so that you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer. So Jesus was prepping us when he knew his time was coming to an end, to be a beginning again, but to be with the Father, yes? And so God wants you to understand. And see, God speaks creatively. Someone's like, I get these ABCs every week. Yes, you must know this. This is the foundation for which all these messages are coming on. Right? And so what does John 16 continue to say if we jump down to the chapter? There is so much more I want to tell you. See, he's wanting to continue to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Oh man, some of you want to hear from God, but you can't bear it now. He's waiting for you to get off of the milk onto solid foods. He's waiting for you to grow in your Christianity, all right? He will guide you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Now you understand the Holy Spirit is receiving from Jesus. He's receiving from the Father. He's receiving the word that he's trying to let you know of. Are you getting this? All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Jesus is just trying to explain to you that he's not just a prophet. He's trying to tell you that he is the one, he is the Messiah, he is God, robed in flesh to come to the earth to die for our sins. He is literally the access point for heaven. He is the source for salvation. only, exclusive, only Jesus, but inclusive to all that would come. How many understand that? Okay. So what am I trying to say? God is still speaking to us, wanting us to understand, but he uses many different and creative ways. We've gone through the list, and I'm going to give it to you again. Some of the ways we've talked about how God speaks is through his word, the Holy Scriptures, right? The Bible, his son, Jesus, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, his people, disciples, those that are listening to God are sharpening as iron sharpens iron. They're giving wise counsel, as the scripture says, right? And then we go on to prayer and prophecy. We've spent times talking about dreams and about visions, right? We've talked about how God gives us things in stages and steps. You may have one puzzle piece right now and not fully understand what it's about, but you just keep moving forward and you'll get some more. Okay? And we also talked last week about signs, and I didn't finish some of that, so we're going to continue in that today, okay? Is that good? Because that's what I'm doing anyway, okay? So last week, again, we were talking about seeing it through the signs. We talked about how Pastor Nita had seen a sign, had heard a sign of this echo. Remember, she called out, they had been praying about whether or not they were supposed to leave and come start a church in Marlboro, Massachusetts. And God had spoken to her in her prayer time. And as she called out to my brother Brent, the name echoed through the halls as if it was an empty sound. And God spoke to her and said, "This house is empty. You will leave it." This was the home that they had built. This was on inherited land from the family. There was no reason to leave, but God was calling them forward. How many know sometimes forward doesn't look forward? Sometimes it's hard to look forward too forward. But God's forward may look a little backward to you, but it's very much forward for your future. Are you getting that? So if you missed that, catch that last week. But I want to talk to you about a story today found in the book of Judges. Let's read about Gideon. Tell your neighbor, we're going there. We're going to Gideon. We're going to read about Gideon. I just want to see how much you would just keep repeating. So listen, the Israelites, they were oppressed under the Midianites. And God sends an angel. Remember, one of the ways in which God speaks, he sends an angel to speak with a man named Gideon. We're going to pick it up in Judges 6. Read along with me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So I want you to kind of understand this scene, right? A wine press, obviously you're stepping down into the wine press because they would push all the wine, all the grapes in, and then they would be stomped upon and thresh. The wine press is underground, okay? So you're going down into it. So a wine press is made for what? Yes, making wine out of grapes. But we see him threshing wheat in a wine press. What does that mean? They're oppressed under the Midianites. He's hiding while he's trying to deal with his wheat. Okay, that's important for you to understand that for when God speaks this. It says this, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." How many are like, wait a minute, so let me get this picture. He was hiding from the Midianites, threshing wheat in this, you know, down into the earth area where no one can see him, and the angel calls him a mighty warrior. Anyone else confused? It's because, number one, when God speaks, he calls us forward. He calls us forward. It's important for you to remember that. When he speaks, he's calling you forward, and even though it can look foreign, even though it doesn't sound accurate in the moments, God sees what you don't see. And so God, when he's speaking to you, he calls you forward. And so when the angel called out to him, to Gideon, and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," whether through natural encouragement or conviction, he is calling you forward. I don't know in that moment what Gideon felt. I'm sure he probably didn't feel encouraged in the moment. He probably felt convicted for hiding. Right? Are you with me, church? Come on, a little bit of I'm here talking and you understanding, okay? Okay, so I believe Gideon was confused in the moments. He didn't look like a mighty warrior hiding from the Midianites. But here's something you need to remember. The Lord labels you by what he sees, by whom he created you to be, not by your current reality. That's what God's, when he speaks, that's how he's speaking to you. So if he's speaking to you and you're getting confused because nothing's adding up, It's just because you haven't gotten to the end of the problem. You don't have the answer yet, but God is already speaking to your future reality, not your current reality, okay? And so Judges 6 goes on to say this. He says, "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders and our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have.'" Say you have. "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" This is huge, because I'm always amazed at this statement. Every time I read it, I'm like, he clearly doesn't have any strength. In my mind, when I'm reading this story, he's hiding from the Midianites. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. He's called out as the mighty warrior and told to go in the strength you have. I was like, what do you see in this man? And see, society looks at you in a certain way, and they don't see you for what God sees you as. They end up seeing someone like you come into all the potential that God has for your life. And they say, "Where did that come from?" And God goes, "The strength was in you because I was sending you." Don't allow the world to label you. Don't allow the world to stuff you in a box that's convenient for their definition. Allow yourself to understand, my current reality might suck, but I'm not staying here because God is with me, the strength is in me, and am I not being sent by the Holy One? Are you with me, church? Can he say that in church? He just did. So God has put it in you. Listen, you never really know what God has strengthened you to accomplish for his purpose and plans. You don't really know until you're in the middle of it. You don't really know what God's plans are until you're in the middle of it. Can I tell you, 20 years ago, I did not expect to be leading this church. 20 years ago, I did not expect to see God doing the things he's doing through this church. I didn't expect us to be reaching out and helping orphanages, not only in Zimbabwe, but also in India and in Pakistan. I didn't see God opening opportunities for the ministry to be streamed to 182 countries. I certainly didn't expect last week for us to have 326,000 views over Asia this one week. I'm telling you, what God is calling us to, he's already put in you, but you don't know it yet. Don't allow other people's labels to suffocate God's strength that he's already placed there. Are you receiving the word today? So this was confusing for Gideon, because he was very aware of his reality. And so Gideon, he begins saying, "How could you use me? I am of the weakest tribe of Israel." He starts going into his family problems. Anyone know what I'm talking about? "How could you use me? I'm from a broken home. How could you use me? I was born from a druggy mother. How could you use me? I have all these struggles." And God's like, no. That's not how it works. Because when the Bible tells us that he knit us together in our mother's womb, he took care. He had a purpose and a plan for your life that if you would just continue to lean into him and say, "God, I'm here, use me," you're going to see amazing things come out of your life. A wholly committed life to God's plan and purpose is going to flourish beautiful things. You're getting this. So he's saying, "How could you use me?" And he's going through all of his family problems, and he's going through the family history, and he's giving all the reasons why God can't use him and why he should just move on to someone else, not hiding in a wine press right now. But instead, the angel explains, "Man, if God is sending you, you will not fail." But that's why we need to make sure, is this God? God, is that you? This is why we're spending all these weeks together, because I've seen people move on what they believe was God's word, but guess what? The wise counsel in their life was like, "I'd wait on that some more." And what they're saying is, "I don't think that's God, but you've already said it's God, and so you've made it so that I can't speak into that." The number one thing, I remember going through all the training and counseling and Bible college, and they're like, if somebody says God said, there's not much you can say, even when you know it's not God, other than, "Buckle up, buttercup." because that doesn't align with the scripture. That doesn't align with what I see God already doing. God is a God that builds on line upon line and precept upon precept and block upon block. And when you start looking what God is already doing in your life, it's going to make sense where he's pushing you and moving you forward. Even the family, my family that moved up here, everything that they were doing in Virginia was preparing them for what God was going to do here. They just didn't know it was going to be 550 miles away. Are you getting this? So anyway, you know, this back and forth, Gideon's trying to say, it's not me, you know, and the angel's saying, oh, it's you. And so there's the back and forth. But listen, don't forget, God's ability through you is endless if you are willing. If you are willing, God, use me. I'm tarnished. I'm broken. I'm marred. I'm scarred. You're going to have to work on me, but I'm here and I'm willing. And then when he starts to work on you, don't get upset because you said to use me. And then what he does is he starts to correct you into the way in which he wants to be able to use you through. And you say, that's not fair. Ow, that hurts. And God says, yeah, but in order for me to use you, I got to work a few things out. Okay. So number two, when God speaks, confirm it is his word. Confirm it's his word. Because you know what? I'll tell you, a lot of people say, well, God told me. I was like, man, God's told you a lot of things this week. Wow, really? Okay. I mean, I know you were doing this, but now you want to go do this. But last week it was that. But look, God is not double-minded. So when your example of him is double-minded, when your confession of what God has said to you seems to be double-minded, it's not God. He's not confused about your future. Only you're confused about your future. That's why we give our future to God and lean into what he wants. Somebody said, Pastor Chad, I struggle knowing my purpose in life. And I said, okay, we'll get into a series about that because a lot of people struggle with that, okay? But what I can tell you is God's purpose for you is not something you're bad at. It's not something you've got to work really hard now to hone that you have no sort of background in, because God gave you the gifts and talents to fulfill your purpose. So make sure you start with what you're good at and make sure you're already giving it to him, and then you're going to find out exactly how the purpose and plan is going to be able to unfold. Are you getting this? And so Gideon, he may have been a wide press dealing with threshing of wheat, but I'll tell you right now, the mighty warrior that was in him was a God-given gift. It just needed to be unveiled by his willingness to say yes. Are you getting this? Okay, so confirm it's his word. We see Gideon lacking confidence in himself. Anybody deal with some insecurity around here? Gideon dealt with some serious insecurity, and he's struggling. God, okay, this angel shows up, and you talk to me, and okay, I kind of want to do this, but I have a lot of insecurity, so let me work through this with you, right? But lacking in confidence, he was wanting to be reassured God is with him. So he asks God for a confirming sign. We've been talking about how God speaks through signs, right? And this is what happens in Judges 6. Read with me. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. Not a picnic blanket, a normal blanket. Okay? I will place it on the threshing floor. And if there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground around it is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. He's saying, so you'll hear people say, you know, I laid my fleeces before the Lord. They're using a reference about like, God, if this is you, I need you to show me like this, okay? And so the fleeces are laid on the ground, and that is what happens. He woke up the next day, and guess what? The fleece itself was wet and the ground around it was dry. It wasn't like a normal morning dew that got everything wet. It was only wet where he said. Are you getting this? Okay. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew in a bowl full of water. It wasn't just a little bit is what we're trying to get at. It was obvious. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Insecurity's rising up. Do not be angry with me, even though you just did the very thing I said I needed to see you do to know that you're with me. Even though I'm even talking to you right now, I still want to make sure before I go fight a bunch of people that could kill me that you're really, really with me, right? Allow me one more time to test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece stay dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. God speaks through signs. This is what we know. Okay? So what we're knowing is that Gideon is wanting to confirm this thing that is life-altering. Hey, he's not laying out fleeces to decide what he's going to eat. He's not looking for signs to decide whether that he needs to be the sharpener of a friend by speaking the truth. He's not looking for signs whether to be a good employee. He's not looking for signs whether to have a better prayer life. He's looking to signs whether he should go and fight and potentially die in battle. So what I'm trying to say is don't become so focused on signs you don't move, because you're not going to fight and die in battle. Okay? But I'm trying to help you understand that God does speak through signs, okay? And so God does still speak through signs. That brings me to number three. Don't become obsessed with signs. Important for you to know that, okay? Okay, so I don't need you to have your detective gear and your little like buzzings and like you got your computer up and you're looking for signs and God, if that's you, and God's like, that's me because it says so in Deuteronomy 3. Yeah, that's me because that would be wisdom and it's found in Proverbs. Read your Bible, know what God is saying, and you'll know if it's him, okay? But yes, God does speak through signs. So Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me just ask one more request. Say one more. One more, no mas. One more, no more. Okay? So what am I saying? He could have asked a third and a fourth and a fifth. He could have kept just looking for signs. He could have camped out in the wine press because he's like, this is cool. This is like better than theater. I just want to keep seeing what God will do. I get so enamored by God proving himself to me rather than doing what he wants through me. I'm going to say that again. I get so enamored by God proving himself to me, I never get around to letting him use me, work through me. Immaturity wants to keep seeing signs. Maturity starts to walk out in faith. Gideon was in a very immature state, hiding and threshing in wheat in the wine press. Don't be like, I just want to live like Gideon and look for signs every day. But no, God speaks through signs, because sometimes there's your sign. Only some of you get that. So God will be patient with us, but he expects us to move on his word. Gideon could have asked again and again and again for another sign. He could have begun the journey and stopped and asked for another sign on the way. He could have done all of these things. But at some point, we must master our fears and step out in faith. And see, you think the things that you're scared of or the things that you're afraid to step out in faith, you think they're a big deal, and they are to you. But most of the time, it's not life or death scared like Gideon was about to do. Just understand the severity in which Gideon did what he did, okay? That's all I'm trying to get at. And so, again, at some point, we must master our fears and step out in faith. And how do we do that? Faith from what we do know, not what we don't know. You may not understand what's behind door number one, but you know God has already said you're going through door number one. And because I have faith in who God is and what his word says and what he's going to do regardless of what's behind door number one, I'm going to walk out in the faith I know, and I'm going to do what I know. Because I know God speaks to me in steps and stages, and when I get on the other side of the door, he'll have more instructions. I'll find the other half of the fortune cookie. Okay, all right. So I was like, what's a fortune cookie? I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm sorry. Number four, trust him at his word. Trust him at his word. Gideon, he didn't live obsessed with signs. He didn't become paralyzed now as some major sign seeker, just waiting until God gives him another sign. Be looking for the signs. That's fine as you walk out in faith what you already know. Okay? So trust him at his word. How do we do that? By walking out in faith. So we go on to see, and I don't have the time to go through the rest of these chapters, but we go on to see Gideon truly did trust God by obeying God. And how do we know that? God ended up, as he's bringing over 20,000 troops to go and fight against Midian, he's bringing it. One day, God goes, hey, your army's too big. And Gideon's like, I have a what? He's like, no. See, if you win, they're going to think you won in your own strength, not my strength. So we're going to need to get rid of some of your best people. We're going to need to get rid of some of your army. So would you just, anyone that's scared, how about this? Anyone that's scared, just let them go home. So Gideon's like, okay, all right. Hey, everybody. If you're scared, just go home. Hoping they don't go home, he's crossing everything. 22,000 people get up and leave him. 22,000 people! That's a town of people. That's like the whole town. It's gone. And he's like, oh, snap. All right, God. Well, now you got to show up. I mean, I did pack that fleece, right? Let me go in. No, listen. So he's like, okay, we're going to do this. And God's like, there's still too many people. What? Yeah, there's still too many people. They may still think it's you. I mean, I did bless you with biceps and triceps. So what I want you to do, go and just bring everyone down to the water. Let them all get something to drink. So everyone gets down to the water, and you've got some of the people that they just face plant. You know, they're in the water. They're just sucking up the water, their hair, you know, they're flipping it like Fabio Dreamweaver, you know, like, and then there's some, a small number that are scooping it up and lapping it like a dog as they watch the horizon so they don't get an arrow in the chest while they're drinking water. And so God's like, yeah, you see all those ones that are way smarter? Not the ones that are like, like the other ones. Yeah, we're just going to do it with those ones. And he's like, so you mean like only the 300? God's like, yeah, those ones. Whatever, you're God. Hey, everyone else, go home. You 300, we're going to do this. And that's what happened. We ended up going and seeing them, and God does amazing things to make sure that they win, but he proves it was him, not us. Sometimes the way you want God to do it is too much on you, and you can confuse whether he was in it, so he just won't do it the way you want to do it. See, Gideon thought he was going to be completely, you know what, I'm obeying God with me and my massive army, and look at me. And God's like, we got to get rid of some of them. It's too much of you, not enough of me. God wants to use you, but he wants to make sure you know he was using you. And it wasn't you and your strength. It was you and the strength he gave you. Yes? And so we ended up seeing this. It said, Judges 7 says, the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped the water, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. So look, with 300, God accomplished what only God could do, and he wanted to make sure everyone knew it was only God. And that's how he works in your life. As the keys come back, I want you to understand something. When God has a plan and a purpose for your life, if you're willing to say, God, I'm up for it, he's going to use you, and it's going to work because it's not you. If we can hear God's voice, yes, look at if we can hear God's voice and know the direction he's calling us to, know the timing in which it's supposed to happen. God may have an amazing plan and purpose for you, but if you started it now, you would fail because it's not in God's timing. Know when God speaks. Know his time. And how do you know that? By being ever seeking, by constantly seeking his face, by making sure your prayer life is up to snuff, by making sure you're actually in the word saying, God, what have you already said that I've missed? It's so important for you to know that God wants to use you in a mighty way. And the proof of that is that he continues to speak. He speaks one way and then another, but no one perceives it. I pray that our church is a church of perception, a church of discernment, a church that knows when God speaks, and a church that obeys.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.